Welcome, everybody, to our monthly sponsorship forum here at CA Howe. And I'm Suzanne, and Susan is here. Good morning, Susan. And we'll start with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so this sponsorship forum will be recorded. Here are some guidelines. If you're not sharing, please make sure your background noise is muted. That's star 6. If you'd like to ask a question or share, it's star 6 to unmute. Susan is our timekeeper, so if you have a question, please be quick and to the point. And if you are a sponsor and you'd like to share on one of the topics, Susan will be our timekeeper at 3 minutes to keep a nice flow, because this forum lasts no longer than 45 minutes. And we have a couple of topics this morning. Elders, no absence requirement to ask a question, so anyone can ask a question about sponsorship. So we wanted to start off today with healthy boundaries in sponsorship. And that's a two-way street for the sponsee, sponsor, sponsor, sponsee. And we thought we'd role play a little bit. So I'm going to get us started. I'm going to be the sponsee, and Susan is going to be sponsor. Are you ready, Susan?
Let's give it a whirl.
Okay. Good morning, Susan. I'm sorry I'm an hour and 45 minutes late, but I slept over at someone else's house. I couldn't find my phone. I went to a meeting. But you don't care, do you?
Hi, Suzanne. I'm glad to hear from you. I was a little concerned when your call didn't come in at our agreed-upon time. I do care. I reserved that time for you. I set aside that time in my day, and it's something that I honor, and I ask you to honor as well. You know, things do happen, and to the best of our ability, let's stay in communication and not just assume that it'll be okay whenever it happens. Are you willing to try that in the future?
Yes. If there is a time that I can't call, you know, I'm newly abstinent and I'm not really grounded, but I understand. Next time, if I have, if I'm in a face-to-face meeting, can I let you know beforehand that the time isn't going to work and ask if there is a better time that we can talk? Is that okay?
On the whole, yes, that's okay. But, you know, we haven't agreed upon time when we speak, and that's what works for me. I have a busy life, and I ask you to work your day around that agreed upon time. And if that's not going to work for you, then we will have a whole discussion about what the right time will be. But that's what I'm going to need from you if this is going to work for both of us. What do you think about that?
Okay, I'm glad that we're communicating, because in the past I just did things on a whim and I really didn't communicate my needs, and I wasn't taught how to do that, and I'm glad that you're kind of setting up some guidelines, because I really need them.
Me too, and you know, and this program has really given me an understanding of how I didn't have boundaries and how I can have boundaries, starting with being absent and eating 3 meals a day and doing all my tools as they're written. And, you know, and I always think about the sponsoring relationship as an opportunity to learn how to be in relationship with others, which I was so bad at. And still, I struggle with in different ways, but I'm getting better at it, and that's what I hope for the two of us to be able to work on together.
Wow. I'm glad you're my sponsor, because I'm afraid of sponsoring, because I'm a people pleaser, and I don't know how to say no, and I don't know how to set really good boundaries, and I have a feeling this program with your guidance is really going to help me in that area, because it's not been good for me in the past, and I I see that now, because I don't want to lose a good sponsor because I'm in denial, or I'm thinking it's all about me and it and other people don't care, because deep down I know that not to be true. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you for being so loving about it.
Oh, you're welcome. And I think it's, you know, wonderful that you're recognizing those patterns in yourself, and we'll work together.
Thank you.
Oh, you're
okay,
welcome.
So that is one role play. Would someone like to comment or ask a question? All right.
We left them speechless, Suzanne.
I guess. Geez, we ought to be nominated for an award there. Okay.
I love that. This is Marcia, compulsive eater in Southern California, and that has actually happened to me as a sponsor. And, I don't know what to, you know, I didn't know what to say, and I've let them slide, and, you know, I thought that because they were calling from another country that, you know, it was okay, and I felt like I couldn't say anything, and gave them slack. But I was waiting for them and giving up my time, you know, wondering when they were going to call, and yeah, that makes perfect sense, and I just have to learn to do that. So thank you for modeling that for me.
Hmm.
And
you're welcome.
It's good for me to hear that and for me to do it. Okay, thank you. I appreciate both of you. I pass.
Thank you, Marcia. Anyone else who would like to share on their experience sponsoring or like to ask a question?
This is Christina. I'd like to share.
Thank you, Christina. Go ahead.
I'd also like to just applaud you, and congratulations on the award. But no, it was a great role play. I have been on both sides, and I will say when I recommitted, I came back and had a sponsor that was I enjoyed her setting the boundaries, because I definitely need that when I'm in my disease, for sure, and definitely in my recovery. But the loving manner, I think it was such a great representation of setting those boundaries firmly, but lovingly. And you said it as the sponsee example, but I think that even when they don't say it, it's just felt. And I felt, I had one sponsor that was very, I don't like the word, but I said militant in the fact that life does happen. And the appreciation of understanding that on both sides, I think, is vital while we're setting the boundaries, because it is, situations do come up. But the key words I caught in that whole example was loving, communication, and also the example from the sponsor that maybe we need, like, she was willing to give the sponsee a try to continue to, you know, keep trying, although she was a little wavering, the sponsee was, but that if there wasn't more consistency, this is just between the lines that I heard, if there wasn't more consistency, then they would need to have a chat about setting another time that was going to be able to be committed to. So I thought that example was absolutely perfect. I felt it was very real to life. And thank you for also just solidifying for me just good wording. And I appreciate you both. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to share on a little monologue or ask a question?
Can I say something else I already shared?
Yes, Marcia, go ahead.
Okay, it's just a quickie. I've also had the experience of having a sponsor that would not, because I have called late, and would not answer the phone if I didn't call, you know, on the dot. And I felt that that was not a loving thing to do. That was not beneficial for me. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Anyone else who'd like to share or ask a question about our little monologue? Okay, Susan, are you ready? We're going to do another one. About okay. I'm going to be spunky, and I remember, everybody, this is an act. We're role-playing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a message I'm going to leave for Susan, my sponsor. And then Susan's going to call me, and Susan, I couldn't call you at the right time. But I'm calling you now, and I've called you all day. Why don't you answer me? Why don't you call me back? You make me like the last thing on your list. I couldn't call at the right time, but that doesn't matter. I want you to call me now, and you're ignoring me. And you have nothing to do all day. So why aren't you calling me back? I have needs, and I am lonely, and I feel abandoned. Goodbye.
Hi, Suzanne. I got your message. Am I just leaving a message, or am I speaking to you directly, Suzanne?
However you want.
Let me leave a message, and then maybe we'll have a conversation. Let's try that. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Suzanne. I got your message, and I hear how upset you are, and I am so sorry you're feeling so abandoned. I had a medical emergency, and I have been in the emergency room dealing with that. In hindsight, I absolutely should have made an attempt to text you and let you know what was happening. Oh, that's right. You don't receive texts. Anyway, my apologies. Things look like they're going to be okay. I am a little shaken by what's going on. And I hear how much this has shaken you. Please understand that I'm your sponsor. Hold on. I'm gonna stop that, you know, before I got into that. We need to have this conversation directly. So, ding, end of message. Okay, bring. Suzanne, are you there?
Oh, finally. Hello, is this my sponsor, Susan?
Hi, Suzanne. Yes, and again, I don't know if you were able to hear my message, but I am sorry for how upsetting this has been for you. How are you right now?
Well, I just want to tell you how upset I am. And no, I didn't listen to your message because I don't listen to messages.
Whew. Well, sounds like there's a lot going on. I did leave the message that I had a medical emergency and I was in the ER, and I do apologize for not letting you know that. I am shaken by all of it, and from what you're saying now and your message, you were shaken by my not being available for your call, and I'm sorry for that.
Oh, I was worried, but you know, it's all about me. I'm so sorry. I'm glad that you're okay, though.
Thank you.
And I will listen to my messages. That's one of my other character defects. I never listen to messages, but I guess I'm gonna have to start doing that, huh?
Yeah. And you know, I heard a lot wrapped up in the experience of not being able to get in touch with me, and you know, we can look at that up to a point, but I'm your sponsor and I'm not a therapist. I have no training in therapy, so you know, there may be a point where I'm going to say, you know, this is beyond the work that I can do with you as a sponsor, and I will support you in whatever you might need to find the help that being in being abstinent and being in recovery might uncover for you. You know, so we can talk about that in the future. But I did hear some things that made me think that you may be hoping to get therapy out of the sponsoring relationship, and I just am not able to do that, and that's not what sponsors are meant to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. You've been sponsoring me a long time, and I think subconsciously I see you as my mother and my therapist, and that's not fair to you. And I know I've been in program a long time, and that's not the program, and I need to seek help elsewhere for those issues. And thank you for calling me on it, and I will seek other help. And you are my sponsor. You're not my mother, and you're not my therapist, and I apologize. I'm getting it.
Well, I appreciate you recognizing that, and, you know, we'll stay in communication, and, you know, and I do care about you very much, and I'm sorry that there was so much upset that was created by the missed call today.
Thank you. Okay, there's that one. I actually had something like that happen to me.
There sounded like there might be some experience behind that one.
Yeah, just a little bit. Would someone like to expound on what we just did or ask a question or comment?
Hi, this is Gabby. I'm a compulsive eater. Can you hear me?
Hi, Gabby. Yes. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much. What a interesting and really, really useful workshop this is for me and for, I'm sure, a lot of other people. So thank you both very much for doing this. I just wanted to throw in my own two cents, which is that, Susan, when you responded to Suzanne, you had a real emergency in your scenario. You said, "Oh, I was in the ER, and you know this happened." And I just want to add that I also have had, you know, both of these scenarios, and I'm sure that the next ones that you are going to act out as well. You know, you can't be in this program and sponsoring for 20 years without having encountered virtually every single, you know, variation on a theme. But one of the things that happens to me, at least in real life, is that once in a blue moon, and it happens very rarely, but once in a blue moon, I miss sponsee calls just because I miss sponsee calls, whether it's I oversleep or something comes up, and it's not, God forbid, and thank God, it's not that I was in the hospital dealing with something. It's that life happened. And I don't have an excuse that is, you know, like a, you know, hey, I was on death's door and this is what happened. The excuse is that I'm human. And I just have to throw out there, that was one of the best lessons I ever learned from my very first sponsor. Probably 3 or 4 months into program, she was telling me a story about something that she had done at a comedy club. And I thought in my head, ooh, that doesn't sound like, you know, something that is something I would have done. And I, for a moment, thought, ah, how could she not react in a perfect way that, me, you know, that she has serenity and calmness and, you know, zen and I don't know what else I thought, you know, just this abstinent universe. And then I realized that she was human. And as soon as I really at a gut level accepted that, it changed everything about our dynamic. I stopped having her up on a pedestal, and I really started working this program as if it were something that I wanted to work for the rest of my life, not something I was going to do to please somebody else, including myself, like as a fad. So I just, you know, in a scenario that I've had, I just have to throw out there that I sometimes say, I'm so sorry I missed your call. I really hear how upset you are. Did you make other outreach calls? Did you write about it? Is there something that came up for you? I'm not a therapist, and you know, and I think my sponsees know that. But I often try to say, you know, wow, this sounds like it upset you a lot more than I think it might have. If you know, something is something else going on, and a lot of times it's, oh my gosh, I didn't use any of the other tools, or oh my gosh, this did, it brought up for me this feeling, and I've really got to work on it because what you did is miss a phone call, and what I'm feeling is, you know, 30 years of abandonment by my whatever. And that changes the whole conversation, and it also removes me from being the reason that anybody has the best day or the worst day or, you know, some other thing in between. So thank you both so much for all of this, and thank you for letting me share my experience, Strength and Hope.
Thank you, Gabby, and excellent addition
Paul from
to
New York.
Hi, Paul.
One moment.
Oh, I'm sorry, Suzanne.
No, you go ahead, Susan, finish, and then Paul can chime in.
Sure.
I was just thanking Gabby for expanding on the scenario and other ways of thinking about things. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Paul from New York, I'm a little more blunt in what I might need to share. Recently, after 2 years of working with someone, we came to a close. And I think part of it was a lack of communication. And unfortunately, what happens a lot with us is that we're not always able to speak directly as we are right now. And there's a lot of texting that goes on. And I think it's deadly. I left a very brief message for someone I hadn't heard in a week and a half. And what came out of the texts were such and I knew the person was coming from a tough place. They weren't feeling well. But the two things I wanted to just share from my recovery of 26 years in one and 14 in is you can't shit a shitter. I was trying desperately to go into a gathering that was a sober event, and I was trying to get out of paying the fee. And the man at the desk said, look, you know, let's be honest. You know, you can't shit a shitter. We've all heard every case scenario, why we miss an appointment, why we don't. But the truth is, and it's something else that I've heard from this program, that the truth will set us free. So no matter what the case is, I do try to be honest. And the one thing that I think helps for both parties is to listen. If somebody's telling us something, we may not get it the first time around. We may have to pause and reflect and think about what they're trying to tell us. And I'm not a genie. I'm not going to, like, go through the waves and try to figure out, oh, he was trying to tell me this, when in reality, you know, on paper, he was telling me something very nasty. I did try to turn it around several times by sending out, you know, LOL, not as a text, but just literally not engaging in what I was being thrown at the time. But when it really came down to the final, you know, ending, I had to take care of myself. And this is the last thing any sponsor will tell you. When you're in a relationship with a sponsee, or you're the working with a sponsor, when your own recovery is affected by what's being said or worked on in that recovery moment, if it affects you to the point where you may go out, you need to go. And you need to go where there's love. Thanks for letting me share, Paul from New York.
Thank you, Paul. Would someone else like to share on our two monologues about sponsorship, healthy boundaries, or ask a question?
Yes. Hi, it's Susan from New York, compulsive eater.
Hi, Susan.
Thank you. Thanks, Suzanne. Thanks, Susan. I really got a lot out of the role playing. I'm a big fan of that that kind of communication. Sometimes I think, gee, I wish I was as good in real life as I could be in the role-playing things. But one thing is that I'd like to say from listening is that there isn't any one right situation for a sponsor and a sponsee. There's probably a lot of good possibilities as long as the communication lines are open. And I've made a lot of mistakes as a sponsor, and some mistakes as a sponsee too, you know, not willing to divulge everything that I'm feeling, or maybe divulging too much and putting too much feeling into it as somebody who I feel like I wasn't getting the right attention. I've learned a lot over the years about sponsoring, but one of the things, the two sponsor roles that were illustrated today were almost like like to me, they were like good angel sponsor, and not the bad angel sponsor or the bad sponsor. And I don't mean bad like lock her up bad, but you know, it's been my experience that I've gone overboard in codependence, and being engaging and being willing to talk about, you know, everything under the moon, and things that don't have that much to do with CHOW. And what I'm learning lately is when I'm talking too much, like I'm probably talking too much now, it's been better for me to find readings and things that, even a short reading, like something like Upon Awakening or something like that, when I'm going to start going off into one of my lecture spiels, you know, about, you know, oh, you should have done this and you should have done that. And because I have that one short, I have one of my shortcomings is the lecturing from on high. And then the other thing is to want to fix somebody else. You know, oh, did you know what Dr., you know, Phil said about this, or, you know, Joe Schmo, PhD. And, you know, this is a CHOW program, and I really sometimes need to, as a sponsor, keep within the boundaries of what I can do as a sponsor, and not try to, you know, like tie somebody else's shoelaces and iron their clothes and tell them what they ought to do. Anyway, just thought I'd share my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Would someone else like to share or ask a question about our two monologues there, our two role plays?
Hey, Suzanne, this is Francis.
Okay, I heard two people. Who was the first one? Hey, Suzanne, who said that?
Francine.
Francine, go ahead. And then whoever the other second person was after Francine. Go ahead, Francine.
Thank you. So so I think what I wrote down and what I'm hearing is that, for me, I've made a lot of mistakes. There's no doubt in my mind, as I'm listening to the two monologues here, is that it's necessary to be gentle and clear, not but clear, but and clear for me, and I haven't always been. I've been too flexible, and yet that's necessary. And I think because of being too flexible, I have lost the structure of our guidelines, and it's true, life does happen. And I think that every situation can be different, and every resolution can be different, and that it's important to not be so rigid. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm learning. I think I'm on point for myself in terms of improving a relationship that I have with a sponsee. So thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Francine. And who was the other person that spoke up?
Hi, good morning. This is Barbara, compulsive eater. Thank you so much. Thank you both for the role playing. And in the first scenario, and I guess what I heard was the experience, strength, and hope of the sponsor sharing with the sponsee. And what that brings up for me is that, you know, we're all in this together. And she was able to give examples that brought the sponsee around to really kind of uncover her stuff, you know, because we all got stuff. And for me, I'm learning, too, how to be, I think, less rigid, because for most of my life, I've been so demanding with myself. So I can tend to be demanding in what I expect. So it's these expectations. But I think it's so important to be flexible and to realize, because that's what I want. So it's kind of like, what would I want someone to do? And I know I don't need too much flexibility, because that's been my life too. I've been unstructured and undisciplined, so that's why I'm in the room. But the clear communication is so important, and sharing as a sponsor, the experience, strength, and hope, being able to identify that, you know, this has happened to me too, in so many of our situations. And that's, you know, the role of the sponsor is to guide and to share if they can. The other thing is that every sponsor cannot share and may not have had the same experience. So another reason to reach out to others, and as a sponsor to share with that sponsee, you know, you might want to check in with other people around how they deal with this particular situation, because we don't have all the answers. And I like also in the second scenario, and I do suggest, because I get outside help, that, you know, that might be something to look at, is to get some additional professional help that can guide you through what you need. Because I can't be that person, you know, that's not why I'm here. But again, thank you for letting me share, and thank you so much. This is a great forum.
Thank you, Barbara. It's Suzanne. I just wanted to add, when I start working with someone, I make sure they hear me and understand me. I am very dedicated to answering the call. I'm very I take my commitments very seriously. But having said that, if for some reason I can't answer the phone, not to go into she's dropping me, she's dead, she's this, she's that, what did I do wrong? No. Just, I will call you back. Because when I was first new, I was caring for my mom, and the call time I had for my sponsor was great, 6:15 in the morning. Usually my mother was asleep, it wasn't a problem. But later on in my program, when I had a different sponsor, she wanted a different call time. And for me, in my circumstance, I couldn't always call her at her time. But in her case, she understood. She said, that's fine. But we had a very clear communication on what if. And so when I start working with someone new, I go through that. I said, look, I, you know, don't have a lot of obligations right now. However, I am busy. Maybe I fell down. Maybe someone's at, whatever, it doesn't matter. I will call you back. Because I know in the past, I used to think that, oh, she's dropping me. I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. But the communication part is from the very beginning. Have an understanding. What if? The other thing I wanted to comment was on the texting part. And some of my sponsees have had really big problems with their sponsees about texting. So much miscommunication and misunderstandings can happen through texting and email, but especially texting. So I'm grateful that I don't text. I could if I wanted to, but I don't. And I know texting does work for some people, but really think about what you're texting and make it clear. But you know, my experience has been if there is a sticky situation, it doesn't always go well because people misunderstand and read things that aren't there, or they could read things that aren't there. So,
Suzanne, that's Susan. Yes. I'd just like to piggyback on the whole texting thing. And I operate with the understanding that, you know, that is a method of communication these days. And it can be a placeholder or just a quick communicating device. But I come back to the idea of our fellow, you know, the fellowship, the sponsoring as well as the outreach calls, it's about fostering stronger skills in communicating and being in relationship. And those of us who have the gift of face-to-face meetings and being able to see our sponsors, you know, are incredibly lucky. Those of us that have to connect on the phone, I strongly, strongly push for a conversation rather than a text or an email as the end of a communication. So I just wanted to add that.
Yes. Thank you, Susan. How much time do we have left, Susan? Uh-oh.
Sorry, I muted myself. We have 10 minutes.
Okay. I thought the call had dropped.
No,
okay.
No.
Thank you. All right. Mm-hmm. Would someone else like to share or comment on scenarios here, on healthy boundaries? It's a two-way street. Who would like to share a comment on healthy boundaries and sponsorship? Well,
I'm Elizabeth, compulsive eater. I'm not supposed to mention my name.
No, go ahead, Elizabeth. You're fine.
Well, you know, I'm listening to all these wonderful scenarios, and I just, they all seem ideal. I don't live in an ideal world in my relationship with sponsees or sponsor. So sometimes my sponsor, you know, has a busy life and can't be there at a certain time, you know, and I thought, well, I'll call her at that time exactly. Well, she's never there because she couldn't be there. And so I said, you know, I just have to live life on life's terms. So whatever, somehow this has worked out for me as a sponsee. We get back together when we can, and I will, and then I started to find myself, well, she's not there at that time, and because she can't be there. That's okay, because things are all change, and so I have adapted to being there when she's there, and when she's not there, I wait and she calls me back, and this seems to work out for me as a sponsee, and you know, to be able to just roll with the punches as a sponsee. And as a sponsor, I have sponsors who might be like my sponsor, not always able to be there, and I will, be stern a little bit, but I'll also try to give a little gift. I mean, some people work so hard, they fall asleep, they can't call me at a certain time. I give them that grace, and I call it grace. It's a grace for me and for them, and we give each other that leeway and understanding, because this way they can maintain their abstinence, they maintain their seven tools, and they remain dedicated to their program, and this is the most important thing, and it's a spiritual path, and sometimes this is the way it is, and we still adhere to the seven tools, but time is really a little bit leeway, so you know, it's give and take, and I just sort of have to roll with those punches. And I'm really grateful for my sponsor and my sponsees. And I'm grateful that we can all work together. So it doesn't mean everybody gets to call, you know, day late and a dollar short. No. But it does mean there is grace of understanding and a little give and take. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Is someone else like to share with?
Hi, I'm Karen Marie, compulsive eater, and I actually wanted to discuss a little bit the texting issue. I've had more than one new sponsee move from a daily phone call to a text message without any kind of prior agreement. I think it's because in our culture we move from a phone call to a text message so quickly. Is there any suggestions on how you can set things up so that a text message is not considered equal to a phone call?
Susan, would you like to talk about that first?
Yeah, I mean, I just am very clear. A text message is not equal to a phone call. I do ask, personally, I do ask my sponsee to send me their food plan, their committed food plan for the day. I really want to look at what it is they're committing to, so we can talk about anything that might be missed or misunderstanding or whatever. I can't process it if it's just recited to me. But we have a phone call every single day, And that's just, it's just very clear. I don't know if equivocate is the exact right word, but, you know, I don't let any room for misinterpretation of my expectation that a phone call is a conversation, mm-hmm. and the text is something different.
Yeah, I'd like to expound. I think, you know, some say here on the phone bridge it could be a form of isolation. That's another topic for another day. But when people go from phone calling their sponsor to just texting, it could be isolation big time. I had a sponsee who was sponsoring someone, and they were just texting the sponsor, and they'd say, here's my food, here's my question, I'm fine. And I said to my sponsee, well, how long has it been since you've spoken to her? 10 days. I said, you may want to call her because sounds like to me there could be something going on. Yeah, there was. And it's a great way to hide just texting. Mm-hmm. Could be. I'm just saying it could be. So she said to me, you know, unless there's some emergency, I need to talk to that person every day because in 7 Tools it says we make 4 phone calls a day. One to our sponsor. And I really do think that hearing the person's voice, if we can't see them in person, is so important because there's that connection, and as Susan had said earlier, that relationship, building that relationship. And we can hear things on the phone that we're not going to hear texting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in my case, I'm lucky. I turned off my texting on my cell phone on purpose. They have to call me. Mm-hmm. There's no other way around it. I do have one sponsee or two that will email their food, but I read it. And I don't just listen to it and just like, uh-huh. I listen to it 2 or 3 times to make sure I'm really clear in my head what it is if I need to discuss it with them. But other than that, I need to hear from them. And I need, just like with my sponsor, I can leave her messages, but she and I need to hear each other in a live conversation. Mm-hmm. And Susan, is that about time for us?
All right, thank you.
We have 3 minutes, so yeah, I think closing up, unless there's a burning quick question.
Yeah. Is there anybody with a burning desire? Okay, let's see. Our next forum will be the October 15th. Is that correct, Susan?
Yikes. I believe that's right, Suzanne. I'm so sorry I didn't have it with me.
No, I think that is correct.
Yes, I think you're right. Yes.
Okay. So our next sponsorship forum, and we already have a good topic, I think. Next sponsorship forum will be October 15th at 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a topic, I'll leave my number. It's 818-208-9171 to set time, and I don't know if you want to leave an email or a phone number, Susan.
I'll be happy to leave my phone number. I'm Pacific Time, 510-421-2205, 510-421-2205.
I want to thank everybody who listened and participated, and we'll see you next time, and it will be available on the recording line as soon as we're done recording. Please, *6 to mute and join us in the Serenity Prayer. God.
God.
Grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
To accept
the things
I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
I will. Not mine. Be done.
Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, guys. Great workshop. Great idea.
Bye-bye.